News you want. People you know from WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
With war now imminent, Iraq remains defiant. Allied forces gear up. Pope John Paul joins chorus calling for peace. Lithuanians hold state funeral for victims of Soviet crackdown. Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Saddam has had enough fun. His time is up. So said Army nurse Desiree Harris this morning after the deadline for possible war came and went in the sands of Arabia. Sergeant Harris, in combat gear and shocking pink sunglasses, was headed north to a field hospital. Her husband is also a Desert Shield medic. That's the kind of war this would be. But so far, 8 hours past the deadline, there is no war. Well over a million troops are getting ready, though. Their tanks and planes and ships are loaded and cocked, but for now on safety. The Pope and other world leaders continue to appeal for peace. President Bush, who planned to be asleep at midnight, issued a statement saying it wasn't a deadline for war. For the moment, this is the air war. The buzzsaw of radio jamming, presumably by U.S. transmitters of Radio Baghdad. Iraqi military frequencies also reportedly being disrupted. Correspondent Bob Simon is in Saudi Arabia.
We just learned from reporters aboard the battleship Wisconsin in the Persian Gulf that their state of alert has been moved up to DEFCON 2. This is a state of alert just short of war. I must emphasize that nobody I've talked to here knows when the war will begin. But the overwhelming feeling is that it will begin very soon, that of the many agonies still in store for people, the agony of waiting will soon come to an end.
This is Jim Stewart at the Pentagon. The deadline came and passed quietly here, and given everything that is known about U.S. capabilities and intentions, the next few hours should remain quiet as well. It is still mid-afternoon in the Middle East, and no Allied action, whether today, tomorrow, or weeks from now, is expected to begin until darkness has fallen there and U.S. stealth aircraft are afforded better protection. The Pentagon says it has nothing to say this morning about a report that more B-52s have been sent into the Persian Gulf region, although it has long been assumed that the Air Force would make such a move as the deadline grew nearer. There are already two squadrons, around 40 or so, B-52s on Diego Garcia, an island base 2,500 miles from Iraq and within easy striking distance. Jim Stewart, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Iraq shows no sign of leaving Kuwait. Baghdad's propaganda chief says that would happen only when the U.S. gives up California. Alan Pizzi is in the Iraqi capital.
A heavy mist blanketed Baghdad when the deadline passed just after dawn today. The government had called on people to treat today like any other, but it wasn't easy. Children went to school, which ironically started at exactly 8 o'clock local time, the deadline hour. But their parents had a harder time getting to work. At some bus and taxi ranks, police commandeered vehicles to take soldiers somewhere. A small group waiting in the chaos of the outdoor central bus station said they were on their way to Foul, the town near the Kuwait border. They were, they said, valiant and ready. There is an air of resignation that borders on fatalism here. People put a brave face on it all because they have no other choice. Perhaps the most striking thing today was that there was no news. Last night, the Minister of Information said this would be a day like any other, and the government is doing its best to play it that way. The only problem is, everyone here knows that since they had breakfast this morning, nothing is, or ever will be, the same again. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Baghdad.
This is Tom Fenton in Tel Aviv. Israel is battening down the hatches, waiting to absorb the first blow. All schools have been closed until Sunday as a civil defense precaution. Air raid shelters have been prepared for people caught out on the streets in a missile attack, and a curfew has been clamped on the Gaza Strip to prevent a recurrence of the riots that swept through the Palestinian refugee camps yesterday. The Israelis fear the first blow in the war may fall here, that the Iraqis may not wait to be attacked by the forces in the Gulf, and may stage a preemptive strike on Israel in an attempt to turn this into an Arab-Israeli conflict. This is now the hardest part, the waiting time. No one knows when or if an attack will come. The Israelis are not even relying on the U.S. to give them advance warning. They'll expect the missiles when they see them. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Saddam Hussein's Washington mouthpiece has headed home. As he left, Ambassador Mohammed al-Mashat had a final word of regret.
It is an Arab problem. It is not United States problem. Iraq has done nothing to the United States. Iraq wanted to have a friendly relation with the United States.
Only four Iraqi diplomats remain in Washington. The French National Assembly is expected today to approve a war resolution. It's coming up on 5 past the hour.
CCO temperature 22.
Whatever their politics, Americans are uneasy about a war with Iraq. Last night, as the deadline neared, tens of thousands joined candlelight vigils of prayer and protest. Betsy Aaron reports.
There was a sense of desperation throughout the country as the deadline for peace passed.
What do we want? What do we want? It?
Prayers, sit-ins, disruptions went on in virtually every large city, and there were arrests as civil disobedience became the order of the day. In San Francisco, 400 demonstrators were carted away after blocking the entrance to the federal building. Over 30 arrests in New York and Chicago. In Washington, D.C., 55. In smaller cities like Champaign, Illinois, the protests were peaceful, continuing into the night.
We must take to the streets of America and demand peace, and we must do it now.
What had been hundreds of demonstrators became thousands. One of them in Washington, D.C., was the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
The war will not be quick, and the war will not be surgical. It indeed will be a world war.
And everywhere there were common themes. Give peace a chance. Support the troops. No blood for oil. Betsy Aaron, CBS News, New York.
As the men and women of Desert Shield gird for war, their loved ones back home wait and worry. Gary Reeves went to the North Carolina home of the 82nd Airborne.
The deadline found the families of Fort Bragg trying to carry on life as usual, but for Army spouses, the tension continues to mount. The strain is clearly taking its toll on some, especially visible at the local mall at their family support center, where Linda Fernocio, for example, sought solace from her fears for her husband, her nephew, and her niece, all hunkered down in the desert.
It was comforting to know that there were a lot of people just like myself in the same boat. And we all shared our same fears, the fear of death, the fear of being alone.
Security here at Fort Bragg has been tightened. The Army is putting up new barricades to deter terrorist threats. But it can do little to calm the waiting husbands and wives. They continue to pray for peace while bracing for war. Gary Reeves, CBS News, Fayetteville, North Carolina.